You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
This week on The Wire, we've been talking all about sex work in New Zealand for Wire Worry Week. A couple of weeks ago, an open letter to the government was released by Hamilton sex worker Lisa Lewis calling for the election of a Minister of Prostitution. The letter carried the names of Lewis and 25 others. Somewhat surprisingly, the letter was written with the help of conservative group Family First. I had a chat this morning with Dame Catherine Healy, the national coordinator of the New Zealand Prostitutes Collective. We've spoken to her a few times this week, but honestly, who is better to talk to about this particular issue? I started by asking her whether a Minister of Prostitution is something worth looking into, and if she thinks New Zealand actually needs a government representative for sex workers at all.
I represent the New Zealand Prostitutes Collective, and the recommendation came from Lisa Lewis, that there be, who's a sex worker from Hamilton, who recommended that there be a minister appointed to manage, or not manage, you know, be involved in sex work issues. So our organisation, you know, we don't have strong feelings either way, other than a tremendous amount of experience in dealing with government agencies. So I guess if we tipped one way, it would be to say that we don't really feel it's necessary because we already have very strong relationships with a variety of government agencies, and also in particular with the Ministry of Health, you know, the agent that works for the minister. So in a de facto way, I guess we look to health ministry that's already placed to work with us. However, having said that, we also work with MBE and, you know, immigration, and we have historically worked with Inland Revenue. So we feel that things as they are already on an even keel, you know, that there's a lot of opportunity to discuss sex work related issues with the relevant government agencies. We've been involved in extensive research which has occasionally been commissioned by government, and that feeds in a body of knowledge about what is happening on the ground, what the key issues are in respect to sex work.
So other than the fact that you said it was mentioned in that letter, has this ever been a discussion that you've heard about or been a part of in the past?
At the time when the law changed in 2003, which is 25 years ago this week, there was a discussion that, you know, about the implementation of the new laws and, you know, who was going to be responsible for that in terms of a government, you know, a watchful eye kind of approach. And embedded in the legislation at that time was a legal requirement that the legislation be reviewed, and that after 5 years, and that, you know, there be a report delivered to government. But apart from that, I haven't been a party, and we would be a party to these sorts of discussions. It hasn't come up as an issue. So when Lisa sent her open letter requesting that this be the case, and that letter was supported by Family First, who we know have steadily opposed the Prostitution Reform Act and want a different kind of legislative approach, and they collaborated with Lisa on sending that letter. I understand they didn't influence the content, although I'm not quite sure they may be in favour of having a minister as well.
What's been the reaction to that letter from people that you represent? Have people backed any of the content?
No. There's been quite a... Well, it was, you know, it's very highly critical, and it's critical of our organisation, for example, and our stance on working with migrant sex workers who are currently working outside of the protections of the law and breach of immigration law. And so, you know, like, people have been quite annoyed at the criticism of NZPC as an organisation and the suggestion that we aren't doing enough for sex workers, that we're neglecting local sex workers in favour of working with migrant sex workers, which isn't true. But you know, that's been one of the responses.
Right, so obviously your reaction was something similar, I assume, when you read it?
Yes, you know, it was a sense of empathy with the local sex workers who aren't able to make ends meet. And, you know, often there's that idea in sex work that you can make a lot of money and it's going to last forever, and for various reasons, good fortunes can come to an end and, you know, different sex workers are struggling, and, you know, that leads to the idea that somebody else is taking my business and therefore they ought to be stopped. So, you know, that's, you know, I understand that, how people see the world when times are tough and so on. And there are, you know, definitely concerns around who's allowed to work in this country and who's not, and what happens to them and the reality of working underground.
Going back to that issue of having some sort of government representative, in other countries where prostitution and sex work is legal, is this something that you've noticed has happened in other countries, or would this be an unusual move if New Zealand did move towards something like that?
I think it would be unusual. I think there, you know, there've been various government agencies who have been appointed, like committees, usually is what happens. You know, like committees are appointed to look at the state of sex work, and they're short-lived. You know, they have a focus. So it might be to examine a particular issue, and then they, you know, the committees disband. But, you know, I really think the better thing is to look at other industry and say, okay, which of those industries have ministers, and why do they have ministers, and what's the rationale that sits there? So if you look at fisheries, for example, you know, and I'm not good at making comparisons in this respect, but I don't think there's a particular need. I think we've got good enough strong relationships with government agencies already, and I don't think it warrants a particular focus. Although, you know, if somebody put their hand up and said, we'll be the Minister of Sex Work, we wouldn't have an objection to that either. We would work with whoever was there. But one of the things about sex work is that it's people either are for it or against it, and that would be the concern, that we could end up with someone who actually wasn't in favour of the decriminalisation of sex work and wanted to work against it. So, you know, that creates a bit of nervousness.
Right, of course, and I suppose with the change of government throughout the years, the role might change, and that could potentially have some problems associated with it.
That's right, and across the broad political spectrum, we know, for example, that New Zealand First voted wholesale against the Prostitution Reform Act. Whether they still hold that point of view, I don't know. But, and, you know, at one point in time, the Greens voted completely for it. So, and then, you know, political opinions change. So, and because, you know, New Zealand does have this overarching thing, and its approach is, while we don't morally condone prostitution, we do support decriminalisation. So, you know, that is the starting point, if you like. But that's not to say that a particular minister wouldn't have a very different kind of reaction to the decriminalisation of sex work and start working for its criminalisation. So, you know, there would be a risk associated with it.
Worry Week on The Wire.
So, Stuart, that was a great interview, thank you. But what does the audience think?
Oh, well, the response to our Twitter poll this week has been phenomenal.
How many votes?
We've had 16 votes.
16?
That's a 100...
That's our biggest, you know, biggest response ever.
That's
in the
like
two
150%
weeks.
Increase on last week.
Yeah, and it's really brought back some really interesting results. So the question we were asking was, does New Zealand need an MP for sex work or sex workers? 31% responded and said yes, and 69% say no, which is actually quite interesting, I think. I didn't really know how it was going to end up, but I thought it might be a bit closer than that. But I suppose when you've got 16 people out there voting, you never know how it's going to end up.
That's true, and that is pretty much very much indicative of the country, I feel, that 16 votes.
Yeah, I think we could probably conclude that those 16 people do speak for New Zealand.
Mm. Interesting, though. I don't know why I don't know why I thought it would be more 50-50.
Yeah, I did too. I thought more people might think it was a worthwhile cause. But then again, if you did listen to what Dame Catherine said in the interview, I mean, they don't even think it's necessary, that the Prostitutes Collective don't, but they said they would support it if it was in motion. But
whose kind of original idea, you know, whose idea was this to potentially have one?
Well, it was Lisa Lewis in her open letter, mooted it and said that there was this sort of movement towards it, I think, but there was only 25 names in the open letter, and we don't, you know, the collective again don't really back that.
Although 25 names is more than 16 votes, so
it is, and it could be a really strong indication of where New Zealand this should be
true.
Heading.
This is true.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.